Welcome to another Sad Songs podcast with our Sad Songs team. We've got Joe here.
Oh, hello.
We've got Russell.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got Kenneth. Today, hello. Joe's going to take us through the voyage. I'll do that again, like Kenneth actually say hello. We've got Joe here.
Hello.
Hi.
We've got Russell here.
Speak for me, Kenneth, if you want.
And we've got Kenneth.
Hello.
Hi, Ken. Today, Joe's going to take us through the Jenny Lewis song The Voyager, which is the 10th song on the album The Voyager, released in 2014. So take it away, Joe.
Great. So, so Jenny Lewis was the singer in Rilo Kiley, and it was actually Steve got me into them way back with, I can't remember the name of the song now, so remind me in a bit, but there's only really one album I really got into of Rilo Kiley, and then a few years ago I started listening to Jenny Lewis's solo stuff, and it's really sort of taken me. I think it's quite awesome. So this album, The Voyager, picking a song of hers was kind of quite difficult. I actually picked this one because I think after we were last recording, I just put on Jenny Lewis and this song came on, and it's one I really like, and I'd had a few and I just thought that'll do it. On an album which is sort of throughout the album, it's kind of each song, it's kind of a story or a tale. So there's ones of general heartbreak or sort of substance abuse and sort of yearning for a child and things like this. There's all these sort of subjects throughout the album. And then at the end of it, there's this song, The Voyager, which is almost a sort of outlier a little bit. And I was reading about how she made the album. It was produced by Ryan Adams, which obviously comes with its own controversy now. But with this last song, he basically said sort of go away and write a one-off song, a ballad, I think he said, and this is what she came up with. And it kind of ties the whole album together, because throughout her music there's often these sort of nods to the sort of cosmic or the sort of religious as well as things being very personal. So she's very good at sort of telling a tale or a very personal sort of intimate story, as well as then sort of going, zooming out, if you like, to this bigger sort of universe. So, and I think that's kind of what this is about a bit, is the personal versus the sort of universal, and a bit like the cosmic versus the mundane, which is what I think we spoke about briefly on the previous week. So what's the song about? Well, interestingly, I actually, while researching this, I realized I had it completely wrong, at least part of it, for a while. One thing I like, she says this in an interview I read, was she likes to have lines where it can be interpreted in multiple different ways. And she said that she often would look back on her songs and realize there's meanings she hadn't necessarily sort of gone for, or that people would take in different ways. And this to me is one. So The Voyager, the title itself, and there's this sort of line about the Voyager in every boy and girl is kind of the chorus. And it's talk of the Voyager going up in smoke. Now, I thought so that I basically wrongly thought that the space shuttle, the Challenger, that blew up in the 80s, not long after leaving Earth, killing people on board, I thought that was a Voyager. I thought it's called the Voyager until the other day when I was looking into it. So my interpretation of this had been it had been partly about that space shuttle exploding not long after taking off, killing everyone on board, and in a way, like people watching it and her reaction as someone, you know, saying she did not cry because she was sort of flicking through the New York Times when she saw it in a shop or whatever. And I sort of took that as being the idea of the Voyagers in every boy and girl is partly, I took it as a sort of everyone's got this limit to their human experience, and the idea of the Voyager shuttle trying to go past the sort of human constraints, if you like, you know, the Earth into the cosmic, and then it failing and that sort of bringing it back down to Earth, and that being a sort of a theme for me a little bit in this song. But obviously I was wrong, and actually it turns out the Voyager is a hotel that her mum stayed in for a bit and burnt down one night, and I think Jenny saw it on fire or something. But she did say when I was reading about it that then it's not actually really about that. That's sort of obviously a jumping off point in some way for where she was going with it. But that's sort of my interpretation of it was like that. But I think that the idea of this a Voyager sort of stands and people going through life as this voyage, and really the ultimate end point of the voyage, the thing that we all share is death, and it talks about getting out of this world, you know, if you want to get to heaven, get out of this world, and things like that. And she's got these nice little lines, like, I've been sipping that Kool-Aid at the Cosmos, which is sort of obviously a reference to the Jonestown massacre, which is quite a funny little line to have in there, really. Other thoughts on it. Well, one thing I'd say musically as well, she's got this amazing way, not only with writing melodies, she got real earworms. Like, this album is completely full of songs that just get caught in your head and go round and round and round, I think. But they also have this wonderful sort of yearning to them. So this song, I find it, I think it is sad. I think it kind of ties up the album, which deals with a lot of different issues in a broader sense, this idea that we're all going through this sort of journey, individual journey, if you like, but then it's tied together by the fact that we're all going to the same place. You know, we're all going to end up at the end voyaging to death. So, but yeah, she's got this amazing melodies. Also musically, this album sort of jumps around a bit from very much pop songs to kind of Americana-y, and sort of this song to me begins like a sort of 70s folky sort of song, quite exposed acoustic guitar on her, and kind of builds to the point where it's got this sort of almost big band feel with, you know, lots and lots of overdub vocal tracks and stuff that forms this almost otherworldliness, I think, to it. And you get the idea of it sort of taking off, like the end of the album, it's sort of, you know, disembarking, if you like. Let me think what else I had to say on it. It mentions the sort of time travel and all that sort of stuff. She does touch on the religious, as I say. That's sort of my take on it. I don't know what you guys think. I'd be interested to see if you think it's a sad song. I mean, to me it is, but I find what Jenny does incredibly well, I think, is has this sort of underlying sadness to nearly all of her sort of solo tracks anyway, that I sort of latch onto. So she'll be telling these stories, and she always says, like, the stories aren't about her, or they're not real, but then she said, but they are real at the same time. So I think it's, she takes little bits of detail from the mundane of everyday life, although her life's actually been incredibly interesting and storied, so she can also pull out these, you know, snippets of stories, and you think, good God, is that real? Is that something that happened? But then mix it in with sort of this bigger picture, cosmic and slightly drug-induced idea. There's a lot of sort of references to drug taking and stuff, again, which is pretty storied in her past from her relationship with her mother and things like that. And she sort of mixes all of these things together to make these songs that sometimes seem very direct, but you can actually interpret in quite a lot of ways a lot of what's being said. I've probably got more to say, but I'll see what you guys think.
Well, Joe, if I can come in. I had the same mistake in interpretation that you had. And
oh, right.
when you just spoke now, I realised I was completely off the mark with it. I didn't think it was called Voyager, but, you know, I thought it was a reference to that that tragedy.
Just to intercept there, I do actually, part of me thinks it kind of is. So I do think there is, I think it is a dual meaning to it. It's just that the ship actually wasn't called that, but I think it might be a reference to it. But sorry, carry on.
Okay, but you know, that kind of, you mentioned about the kind of cosmic, and that's what I sort of first hit me with it. The kind of strings at the beginning kind of set a bit of this kind of cosmic theme, and then it kind of fades out and it leaves just sort of Jenny on her own, sort of singing solo. One thing I sort of noticed, though, that it does kind of communicate a bit of a shared experience, you know, the Voyager is in every boy and girl sort of thing. So it's like we're all in this boat together. It might end up somewhere bleak, but we're in it together for now. And then sort of towards the end of the song, that's almost confirmed when the sort of backing vocalists join in with Jenny, and it kind of becomes that kind of almost a crescendo sort of thing where it kind of confirmed that shared experience. And, you know, those voices are, as you say, a bit sort of otherworldly, a bit sort of, you know, a bit spacey, for want of a better phrase, in the background there. But it kind of, you know, does say to me, we're in this together. And which is why I don't necessarily think this is much of a... It didn't strike me as being a sad song as such. It kind of, this vague sense of hope in it that you know, we are in this together sort of thing. I'm not sure whether
that's just my interpretation, and you know, the I may be well off the mark with it, but that seems to see what it felt like to me. And also the other thing is, that there's a bit of a bit in it, which calls back to one of the previous songs on the album, One of Those Guys. And I thought that was quite a useful kind of trope to bring things together from the album as well. I really enjoyed the song. I think it is definitely forlorn. I definitely think it is, deals with some sort of dark subject matter potentially, but on the whole, I didn't find it necessarily sad.
I would concur with that one, Russ, I suppose. I didn't particularly find it sad, and I'd go further. I don't really like it either. I don't really like the solo Jenny Lewis stuff, and this one in particular, I find it's too overproduced, and in its kind of lack of edges, it just becomes very boring, in my opinion. What I really liked about Rilo Kiley's songs was that in amongst all the sort of imperfections and bits going wrong and shoddy musicianship, she really had to sing certain bits really sweetly to emphasise that they were the sort of important and key moments. Whereas with this, it just sort of goes into one gloopy, syrupy thing. Furthermore, I don't really like the Voyager analogy. I didn't get my spaceships mixed up, but the Voyager, you know, space probe that they send into space in, I don't know, the 60s, the 70s, and drew the pictures of people on and send it to the outer solar system. It strikes me as a sort of reference to something really, which is a bit out of Jenny Lewis's time, right? You know, she's a sort of 80s child, and the Voyager is this sort of thing to me that has no cultural relevance or reference, and I listen to this one and it doesn't really affect me at all. The signs in it, it's not sad, it's just it's not anything. It's just, you know, it's pleasantly sung in the first verse and then becomes a bit non-memorable. Ken, what did you think?
Well, funny enough, I do find it quite sad, but in weird ways that I don't think anybody else would. I mean, I think, Stephen, you were talking about this leotard concept, the tensor sign, a few weeks back, and it's as if there are signs flying off which you know, really strike a note of sorrow with me, and which certainly couldn't have been intended. So it's not just that I've misunderstood the Voyager, which, yes, for what it's worth, I did. But there's all sorts of other things. I mean, the first line, "By the time I got your letter," and that straight away reminds me of the very sad song "By the Time I Get to Phoenix," you know, the Jimmy Webb, Glenn Campbell one, which is, you know, a kind of guy leaving a woman. And it really is an ultimately sad song. So this just kind of reminds me of that and affects me in a way which I wouldn't expect anybody else will necessarily feel. Similarly, the what I thought was the Voyager going up in space and, you know, blowing up, reminded me of another sad song, which, this is quite embarrassing, is from John Denver. And I've even forgotten the title, which is quite good. But one of his, he was supposed to go up in a spaceship, which he didn't go up in, and somebody else did, and the spaceship blew up. And, wrote this song, you know, she was flying for me, she was flying for everyone. And it's one of his big kind of tearjerkers. So the song for me was just full of, sad associations, which were, I wouldn't say personal to me, but, you know, ones that kind of I made that certainly couldn't have necessarily been intended. There was, Joe mentioned something particularly I found interesting. One thing I'd noted in my own notes was that there's a lot of musical references to other types of music throughout, as if this is describing a kind of journey through other types of music. I mean, there's some really strange moments. There's this moment when there's this kind of Indonesian gamelan suddenly just emerges from nowhere. And it wasn't clear to me when I heard it, like, where's this gamelan music coming from? You know, this is kind of very kind of quite simplistic, you know, to Western ears, because it features, you know, marimba, and it's only got four or five pitches in it. And it's very distinctive. And I was thinking, what on earth is this, you know, gamelan for in this song that's all about sort of yearning to sort of transcend mankind and get into space? And then there was, Joe mentioned big band towards the end. Now, I hadn't really heard big band in it, but I'm sure it was to some degree. There was also this kind of gospel sound at the end, so perhaps tying in with that semi-religious aspect. But it was very kind of you know, kind of American Deep South in that kind of gospel aspect. And also her voice seems to be very different to how it was in Rilo Kiley. I don't know if it is in this entire album or just in this song. It's got a much kind of flatter sense of vowels. So it's kind of puts on a real kind of Southern American kind of, you know, Bible Belt twang to it. And I think that also tied in with a kind of a country element as well. There was also some really kind of odd little bursts of futuristic sounds, like the kind of futuristic sounds you got in the 1980s when you would get like a synthesizer, just little touches of these as we're going through, as if kind of it's a musical voyage as well, but not in the sense of a voyage to get somewhere, which is described in the, you know, in, I suppose, in the lyrics to some degree, but it's more just a kind of a restlessness, a kind of a voyage just to keep traveling, to keep trying out different things. And the thing I liked about them was those are things which were happening musically, subtly, but they weren't part of the lyrics necessarily. You know, you, if you hear some gamelan in a song like this, you think, well, why the hell is the gamelan? Somebody just mentioned, you know, Indonesia or Bali or something. But, she, you know, she hadn't. These are just musical references. The sort of futuristic sounds were, I mean, I think from... the futuristic sounds were partly sort of tied in with the slightly sci-fi aspect of the word Voyager, which I guess everyone has different associations. I think, again, quite sadly, of Star Trek. And also there was a computer improvisation software. It's quite a famous one from the 90s. So the people are, you know, improvising with a computer musically. That's called Voyager software. So for me, it's got, again, these other sort of associations. And it was as if she was also moving not just from place to place in the music, but from time to time. So she was going back to the 80s vision of the future with the sort of futuristic type music. And then she was going back to the kind of Bible Belt days, you know, with the sort of more raw country and gospel singing. And then back to the sort of 20s and 30s with the big band references as well. So there's a kind of going back in time, forward in time. And I think that's part of this idea of making it a universal thing. You know, the voyages in every boy and girl. So it's not, but again, this is, for me, this is all fascinating stuff. I'm not sure I necessarily call it sorrow or sadness. The sadness to me came from these weird associations with other songs, like By the Time I Get to Phoenix and the John Denver song, which will hopefully remain nameless to my mind anyway. But yeah, that's how it affected me, kind of sorrowfully in a personal way, but only through strange associations, but certainly a fascinating song.
While I was researching this one, Joe, I found another song from the album, which I did think was really sad in a way, and that was a song called Late Bloomer.
Oh, yeah.
And in the song, sort of Late Bloomer, there's a very sort of interesting type of sadness that's explored, which is that, you know, you're there doing something that you really want to do and is supposed to be exciting and you're supposed to be in this kind of fantastic situation. But of course, you find that it's not satisfying and, you know, the experience is empty and there's a kind of real sadness in that moment. And when I listened to that one, I did think of a very sort of deep sadness in this sort of realization that something you said about Jenny Lewis, you know, she's had quite an interesting life, yet still writes sort of sad songs. It might be a reflection of this thing that, you know, I'm always bashing on about psychoanalysis, but one of the sort of key points of psychoanalysis is this notion that, you know, you don't really want to get what you want. And whenever you get what you want, you often find that the experience is relatively empty and isn't the thing that the fantasy said it was going to be.
Well, it's interesting you bring up that one. That's one, it's a very different sort of song to this one, isn't it, in terms of the lyrics, because that one is one where she really in quite a lot of detail tells a story, you know, which does it covers everything you're saying, but it's quite a dense sort of track, that one, whereas this is a bit more different. This has elements of a story but then elements of personal, but then just goes off into quite broad strokes, if you like. I mean, in terms of also the production you spoke about, yeah, you're right. It is. These are sort of very produced, and all her solo stuff really is, isn't it? I think, like her latest album, I absolutely love, but it's got massive production on it. You know, it's really layered and kind of done to perfection, which I guess touches a little bit on what we were saying, or you were saying, Steve, before with the dismemberment plan last time. Yeah, I mean, obviously I've failed, haven't I? I have to pick a sad song and I haven't made any of you sad, so...
Well, no, I think was quite interesting that, you know, it's kind of quite lyrically vague and quite open and not sort of necessarily defined, and I guess musically as such as well. So probably explains why we each have an interpretation and a different response to it. So I can quite understand how one person might find it sad and another person not.
Plus, Joe, the other thing to bear in mind is that, I mean, Stephen doesn't really have much of a heart. So it's making him sad is a challenge. He has to find it himself for him to be upset. And you did actually make me feel quite sad, although it was going through. I always find songs about anybody writing anybody a letter and leaving them. And this is since I was a little kid, really heart-wrenching. Like, I used to get really upset by the Beatles, She's Leaving Home, you know, the one on Sgt. Pepper's. It's like it's just this traumatic moment when a girl's just leaving home. And, you know, that happens all the time, every day. But it just seemed to really, you know, get me, somebody was leaving. And the same with this, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, someone leaving somebody a letter. I didn't quite understand what in the poetry here, the text, exactly what was in this letter. And did you have an interpretation of that, Joe?
Well, I don't know. I love this line, you know, when you're getting better, it's a jagged line, she says. I don't really know. I think it's quite vague. Again, I saw someone was saying they think this is about her dad, who died, I think, around the time this album was being made. The album after this is largely, or quite a lot of it, is potentially about her mum, who they had this fraught relationship with. Jenny was a child TV star and stuff, and her mum was I think, you know, heroin addict or whatever. And then they didn't speak for years and years. And then just as she was sort of on her deathbed, Jenny kind of reconciled with her. And that's tackled in the following album a lot. I saw someone say this is about her dad. I don't think it is, and nothing I've read really touches that. But then there's a weird lyric like that when it's saying, by the time I got your letter, you know, and like you say, it's got that tragic sort of feeling of some sort of breakup, hasn't it? But I don't quite know what that's about.
I often think, you know, when there's often a lot of interest in finding out what a song is about. And, you know, nine out of 10 times the lyricist or the person who's written a song, you know, from a musical perspective as well, quite rightly want to keep that sort of to some degree private. You know, they might say glibly, oh, it was about this, it was about that. But if you're going to make a song that other people can relate to, you know, you don't want to say this is a song about the day I first lost my tooth when, you know, I ate a difficult toffee, and then, you know, make it so banal and so personal that nobody else can actually experience it. I think if you're going to make other people feel the way you feel, you focus on the emotions and less about the specifics of the detail.
Yeah. Well, I think there's sort of three things going on here in the whole album. I think there are moments where it's about the dad, and maybe, you know, when it finally hit me, I did not cry. That could be related to that. There's definitely a sort of breakup theme going on as well. And then a general sort of being back in California and seeing the world has changed. And one of the things about the album that maybe is part of why I find it quite frustrating is that they're cut up and they don't sort of appear as clusters with, you know, a track backable meaning, but every song has a little bit here and there which is sort of thrown in. And of course, maybe this is a sort of defense mechanism, you know, you can't bear to write the whole thing about these things, so you kind of hide it piecemeal across several different texts.
See, weirdly, that's kind of what I quite like. I like that. I could see why you'd find that frustrating, but I quite like that. I like that approach. So you're wrong.
Yeah, I quite like it. It feels like a bit of a collage as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's maybe in a sense that element of the album isn't polished, and it feels a little bit more kind of, you know, not slapdash, but a collaged approach, a bit of a kind of development of ideas through time, and not necessarily kind of positioning them precisely, just kind of leaving them sort of to kind of you as a listener to kind of go through a journey and have that kind of ambiguity that you're able to kind of interpret yourself.
Well, I do wonder if it was that deliberate or whether it's more that, you know, here's a two-line snippet that'll do, this'll do, this'll fill this space, and that they're kind of parts which, you know, sound like they should be words from a song, but aren't necessarily enough to create a text which is interesting to get into?
I don't know. I mean, I think in some ways she's kind of putting us, you know, if we're trying to attach it or trying to derive a narrative from these kind of difficult in the sense that they're difficult to understand, but it kind of almost impenetrable sort of what her meanings are. It kind of puts us in the role of a psychoanalyst kind of trying to understand from somebody, or, you know, we're not all psychoanalysts, but, you know, a kind of a friend maybe telling us all kinds of broken up half stories, half truths, trying to put us in this kind of position where we have to try and piece them together. It possibly mimics the experience of, you know, being someone who's troubled, that they can't piece them together for themselves, you know, can't see the wood for the trees because they're, you know, they're in this life. So this story does come out as this kind of mixture of ego defenses and jumbled up ideas in text. I don't know, again, I don't see it as a bad thing for my appreciation of the songs, but I can see why it's frustrating.
And I guess that kind of sense that you get, I guess, through my work in mental health, you quite often find that, you know, someone starts telling you how they've got to this point, and the story kind of leads through a number of different areas. They'll start off, well, you know, when I was a kid, this happened, or that reminded me of something when I was a teenager, and then it goes back and forward. So there is this kind of sense of snippets of stories that you have to kind of try and put together as a whole in the end, and sort of, you know, it's impossible not to put your own interpretation on those things, which I guess, you know, could be the experience of this album.
But there's some sort of necessity for the story to be something that you're interested in and can kind of grab you, right?
Not necessarily, because I mean, I guess if the most interesting thing is, say, some kind of trauma, that's the one thing that they're not, the person is going to try and keep from you, I guess. So they'd be giving you all of the kind of peripheral stuff around it. I once heard a guy who was he was part of the Care in the Community project, and I just happened to be chatting to him one day, and he'd been a teacher. I'm not quite sure where the story is going, but he'd been a teacher, very, very highly respected, and he made it clear to everybody that he just snapped one day and then was put into an institution. And he once started telling me about the day. I gave him a lift to Newcastle, and he was telling me about the day that he went, you know, he snapped. And it was fascinating, and I was desperate to kind of get to the sort of the root of the story, and he just prevaricated around it, describing, you know, various different routes to get to the A167, you know, and I just was trying to piece this story together, but, you know, absolutely couldn't, because I don't know whether it was consciously or unconsciously, he didn't want to actually tell me this really interesting thing. I was just aware that there was something interesting down there, but I was just getting this whole kind of wall of obfuscation and banal stories. And I only know this song really from the album, but it does feel a little bit like that. Kind of obfuscating. But yes, as you said, some of these maybe aspects might not be necessarily interesting in themselves.
All I was going to add was that as someone, because I'm a big fan of Jenny Lewis and actually listen to her a lot, and I think maybe it's partly context as well. I think as someone who listens to her a lot, I feel like you get maybe not total clarity on the sort of stories or whatever, but you get an idea of it as a whole, or her as a whole, I think. And that sort of, I suppose, helps in my view anyway. Because there are themes that come back in across it all, and it might seem like snippets and disjointed, but I think you can build a picture. But again, maybe you need it within the context of the album, or you need to know a bit more than one standalone song. But that's my take on it anyway. I mean, I'm a big fan. But I totally take on board what everyone's saying. And I do see, I did think it was probably a weird choice, but then I just sort of stuck with it in terms of the sadness angle. Russell, you use the word forlorn. I think maybe that's quite an apt sort of word for it. But I think there's a sweeping sort of kind of grand sadness to it, if you like.
Well, a sad song or not, it's generated plenty of material from us. We're almost on half an hour, so Stephen should really make some closing remarks.
Well, yeah, thanks, Joe, for letting us into this Jenny Lewis song and giving us a bit of information on Jenny Lewis as a whole. From your perspective as as a whole, our next sad song will be...
yeah, I thought that, Stephen.
What a lad.
My Chemical Romance is Welcome to the Black Parade.